Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Death and taxes. In case the inevitability of the latter has run by you, please permit a pungent reminder that you don't have too many days left to fulfill that obligation. But the inevitability of death has always been something also that has captivated the imaginations of people. If you look at the painting of the Good Samaritan in pitch black hall, slightly to the left of center, you will find a spiral pit. The artist explains that that is a symbolic assertion of the inevitability of death. That's just the way things are. All people must die, and there is no escape from that fact. But recognizing the inevitability of death does not cause us to stop looking for ways to keep the grim reaper at his harvest. We all chase after our own version of the fountain of youth, particularly in the inanity that death only happens to the aged. It can be something as silly and as innocuous as Greek formula number 9, or some cream that you can rub on to get rid of the dark spots that age has brought, or it might even be a kind of wrinkle remover that is currently the fad. Or it may be something far more serious that you will run into quite frequently in your ministry, of someone going from physician to physician to physician, and even from face healer to face healer to face healer, to see if there just might be somebody who has a cure, somebody who can stay off the execution, somebody who has a different opinion about the inevitability of death. But ultimately, they all fail. Time flies, and death comes. And you see, that's what makes Jesus' statement in our text so unacceptable. You can well imagine why the Jews said, "Are you not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? Don't you now have proof positive that you are crazy after all? Because you come along and say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste of death. Who do you think you are? Are you greater than our father Abraham?" You sometimes read all of chapter 8 for that remarkable discussion of the Abrahamic relationship that Jesus gets into with the Jews. "After all, our father Abraham died, and all the prophets died, all the great people have died. Who do you think that you are that you can claim, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death?" And you see, it bothers our minds too. How can we hold to that assertion that if one keeps Christ's word, he will never see death, when everybody around us is dying and everyone before us has died? Well, the way of escape that our Lord provides from death is dying. The one who said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad," and the one who said, "Before Abraham was, I am," in And if contemporary man doesn't understand that, there's no mistake with the audience before our Lord. They understood it full well and took up stones to throw at him. But that one died. An ignominious, horrible death to be sure, but most important, a death. He died, and by dying, he conquered death and brought life and immortality to life. And in the same way, you and I conquered death by dying. If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. And we, in faith, by the work of the Holy Spirit, cling to that word of our Lord. And we have been buried with him by baptism into death. But just as he was raised, so we are raised to newness of life. And his victory over death is ours, so that by faith in him we say, it is not death to die. So pay your taxes. Struggle with the form, or the hardest part of all, writing the check to accompany them, and render unto Caesar that which is his due. But the problem of death is no longer a problem. Oh yes, we must go through the process of dying with its grief and its bereavement and its sorrow, its tension and its anxiety. But death has lost its power. Its sting is gone. The victory of the grave is a hollow one. And our Lord Christ reigns in triumph. And if one keeps his word, he will never see death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.